Sunday! Every Sunday, side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Hear relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motor Mouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Yes, yes, yes. You guys over there, teens, queens, guys in blue jeans, everybody in this damn place, come on in. We're having a party today on Motor Mouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with your hosts, Ray Guarino and his more than adequate co-host.
I call him Mini-Me.
Yeah. Chris Switzer. How are you today, Chris?
Doing well, my brother. How are you?
Excellent.
I'm looking forward to getting into another fine, upstanding version of this highly rated, award-winning talk show called, what's the name of the show again?
Well, it's Motor Mouth Radio. And tell people how they can get in on this fun with us if they'd like to.
Oh, yes. If you would like to get into this frivolity, you can give us a call right here at 516-256-9510 is the phone number to get a hold of us right here at Motor Mouth Radio. Please call us. You know why? Because we're talking to ourselves today. And usually when we're talking to ourselves, the phones usually go crazy. And this time, they're not.
Right.
But we're going to try and get them to go crazy again.
Right.
So there's the phone number. It's 516-256-9510. And you think I've said it long enough that I'd be able to memorize it, but no, I have to go right back to last week's notes every time I write it down.
Well, speaking of our copious amounts of notes and things that we do here, I know today must be a sad day for you, Chris, because it's one of your role models has passed, another one. You know, we've been losing people left and right, And this week, it was Friday, actually, David Lander.
Yes.
Yes, right? And, of course, yes. He is also known as, most appropriately, Squiggy from Laverne and Shirley.
Yes, he is. I still walk into the room and go, hello.
Just like you do. Passed at 73 from complications of MS. But, yeah, I figured I knew that would be a...
He will be missed.
We'll have to bow and light a candle.
There you go, starting the show off on a high note. I love it.
And you know, another one, because I always think of you when I hear these things. I know that in this week in 1960 you were despondent and crying and maybe a bit muffled, but you
I was, because I was still a twinkle in my father's eye.
Yeah, there was some little protozoans that were twinkling, that were crying, because the last DeSoto was built by Chrysler.
This
year, 1960, right?
Mm-hmm.
They retired that brand after 32 years at that point, which is...
Well, the car had an identity crisis after around 1957. They realized that it was basically just another Chrysler.
I think that was the pinnacle. I think those were the best-looking DeSotos, were the 57s.
I think you're right. And it was actually a record year for sales, but 58, it dropped off terribly, and 59, which I think, even if you're talking about the way cars were designed, even those Chryslers in the 50s, there was always some things that were a little off about them. They generally were good designs, but there was always something a little off, and the DeSoto was no different, and I can get to that in a second, but the 59 DeSotos were, I thought, the best of those years. 60 was nice, but the 59s I felt were the most polished of that, right, that forward look. But there's, you touched a nerve here for a second, because there was a lot of infighting in the design area in Chrysler, not to get into this really quickly, but there was a lot of infighting in that time. Virgil Exner had a lot of people pushing back on him. And there was a couple of things that were a little strange. Like in 58, if you look at a 58, 57 Chrysler, it had a long, thin, svelte taillight. 58, they shrunk the taillight. They kept the bezel the same, but they shrunk the taillight. It almost looks like it just came out of the wash, and they washed it in hot water, put it back on, went, yeah, it's fine. And it looks awful.
Wow.
It looks awful. There's a lot of those things. A lot of those things. You can walk around one of those walk around any forward look Chrysler from 57 to 60 and find any sort of thing that you just look at and go, what in the world were they thinking when they put that on the car? So there goes your unnecessary automotive bit of knowledge for this week. Thank you very much.
You know, there's a picture that I have. I've probably sent it to you many times of me, you know, when I was a little kid in 60, I was really a little kid. I was a toddler. But right. We had my dad was always bringing cars home to fix and flip. You know, I was sideline.
Right.
And there's a picture of me standing between two DeSotos.
Really?
One, I think, is a 55, and the other one is the 57 with the big fins. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. And funny, years later, I was working on a guy's actually, we talked about him on the show a few weeks ago, a guy who sells a lot of parts. He hired me to work on a 55 DeSoto to get it running. Mm-hmm. And I did, and I noticed that in his garage were two 57s. And one of them was a two-door, and it was my favorite color. It's like that goldish champagne and cream white. That was like that combination. Oh, it took me right back to being a little kid because I used to play in them. A year or two later, he had to get out of that place he was at, the house, mm-hmm. and he says, listen, I know you like these DeSotos, and I like, I really don't like these DeSotos. I like those DeSotos. And he wanted me to take the cars. He goes, I want to sell you these cars. I want to make you a great deal and let you have these because someone should have them who'll appreciate them. I don't want to just, and I don't want to cut them up. I don't want to, you know, he bought 157 as a good parts car for the other one in case it needed anything. And then the 55. And I said, listen, I'm really only interested in the two-door 57, the nice one. And I don't have room for three DeSotos, you know.
Right. So it took up a lot of real estate.
I passed. I had to pass on it. I couldn't do it. Wow. You know, I just couldn't do it.
The one of the few cars I've ever driven that was in the 50s was a 58 DeSoto.
Uh-huh.
A very good friend of mine, his name is Angelo. Ange.
Yeah.
Hey, my name is Ange. That's how he said.
What a surprise.
Yes. At the time, I had a 59 Cadillac. And he pulled up with his 59 Cadillac, which was in the same color scheme. Mine was black with a black and white interior. He pulled up with his in front of my house. His car was gorgeous. And that's how we met, was through the cars. Like, he's like, hey, there's not many of these things around. So we got to talk and we became friends. And one day he calls me up. He's like, hey, Christy, I got a car for you. You got to come down and drive this car. Got to drive this car. And I was like, what is it, Ange? He says, I got a 58 DeSoto. You got to drive this car. I was like, yeah, I'll do it. I went down. He lived in the Bay Ridge section. So I went over there, and there it was. It was like a cream coffee-colored tan top, tan gut, and it had the push-button transmission. Yeah. Holy smokes, this thing drove fantastic. Yeah. And I was asking him, I was like, come on, sell me the car. And he's like, nah, Christy, can't sell you a car. I bought this car, I'm going to restore this car. And it was, at the time, you know, what cracks me up is they were just old cars.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about it, this was 1982. So they were just 30-plus-year-old cars. They were just old cars. So they basically had the same brake lines. They had the same bearings. They had everything. All the rubber parts were all the same. Nothing really needed to be rebuilt. It was a worn-out car, but it wasn't a dilapidated vehicle, and it still drove fantastic. And I remember it vividly, just driving around the neighborhood with that thing and loving every second of it. Loving every second of it.
Well, that's the thing. But at the time, you know, to get parts to do a restoration wasn't easy because there were nothing aftermarket. And, you know, you had to find those local places that were stashing DeSoto parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. And at the time, there were those local places that that you can just, you know, blow the dust off the top of the box and go, here you go. There was a DeSoto Park. You know, there were those places there. At least in my neighborhood, there were when I was growing up. And then one by one, they all disappeared.
It's funny. When I was working on this, the 55, I had to get it running. And, of course, there were fuel issues. And I determined at one point, like, hey, you know what? The fuel pump ain't pumping. Right. And so I called him up at work and said, hey, the fuel pump is shot. Can you get one? Because he's a parts guy. He right. says, okay, I'll tell you where the key is to the house. Take the key, open the side door, go down to basement. And that's what I saw. He literally had, it was an auto parts store in his basement.
All DeSoto parts.
No, of everything. Shelves, oh, you know, double-sided shelves, like you go into the back of a good auto parts store. And he told me, okay, go down the main aisle, go three, turn right, go to the end, look on your right, third shelf from the top, whatever. He goes, there should be a box there with a, you know, there should be two fuel pumps.
Oh, and my gosh.
I went right to it, and there it was. And he says, you know, I have two spares. So it's beautiful. Took the fuel pump, came outside, swapped it. Like, what could be better? And then the car ran. You know, it was one of those Fire Dome, the early Hemis.
Oh, I was going to ask you, what was the engine?
It was a Fire Dome Hemi with a two barrel.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Holy moly.
Purred like a kitten. The thing just ran beautifully.
Oh, yeah. Those cars, those engines were totally unutilized when they were first. They built them with the thought of expansion in mind, because at the time that they were developed, there was talk of gasoline octane that was going to be like 100 plus octane, and this huge exploding fuel that these dynamic engines needed to be built. So what they did was they built, literally undercranked the engine. They deliberately made everything, the piston smaller, the cylinder smaller, I should say, because they wanted to every year make it that much more horsepower, that much more power. And they knew that they had that engineered into the vehicle. So those early Hemis, just like you said, they just purred because they were so not straining. They were right. Just running. Like, oh, you want me to idle it like 2,200 RPM? Sure.
There's going to be a guy born in a few years who's going to want to see the word Gates going around when he looks at his belt. And this knucklehead is going to love our engines.
Hey, you know what? Because guys like you, I hung out with guys like you growing up, and guys like you all had their prime gray Chevelles or prime gray Mustangs. Everything was jacked up in the back. Yeah. You know, they had those Coke bottle chargers. There were Kragers on everything. And, you know, they, in order to be popular in high school, I didn't have the funds to go fast. I was a poor kid. I mean, I was, you know, working three jobs just to keep gas in the tank. So I had to find my own automotive thing.
Yeah.
And I used to love it because I'd get the idle on my 64 coupe, which had the 429. I'd get that thing to idle at like 290 RPM. And I'm sure I was probably driving the transmission pump crazy because it's barely pumping any transmission fluid. So I'm sure I'm doing the turbo hydromatic no good at all. But just for the fact that guys, those guys in the dungaree jackets, you know, that flies around them, you know, those guys. they come slithering up to you going, hey, Christy. Pop the hood, show Spike here how you get that engine running, you know. So it was kind of cool. That was my thing.
I'll tell you, I had a 429 in my 65 Caddy, and again, that was another rock solid engine. Yeah. That could just purr at like zero RPM.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, it sure was. I had the 390 in 63. And that engine, I mean, you had to laugh because you know of all things, and we talked about this all the time. We've broken it, bent it, set fire to it, messed it up in some way, shape, or form, and we're able to live and tell about it and ultimately talk about it once a week.
If we haven't yet, we will soon.
Right. So we're still going. And those engines were, at least in my world, put up with a lot of my mistakes. A lot of my mistakes. I remember back in my 63 Caddy up the block, after I tuned it up and I launched it up the block, and it's popping like a son of a gun, pow, 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 through the carburetor, through the back. And I'm like, oh, something's wrong. I pull it back into the driveway. I had like four spark plug wires just swapped off in different directions. I didn't know what the heck I was thinking. This thing was firing like, and it still ran. It still It still propelled the vehicle. Like, holy smokes. I remember one time not tightening the spark plugs correctly, not tightening them down. And I'm watching the engine run, and you see the spark plugs are starting to creep their way out of the head. I'm like, holy smokes, I better tighten them down a little more.
You think? Oh, that's funny.
I was on that. I was, you know, it's like we all go through these phases growing up. And there were some guys I knew that used to wrench stuff down to the point where that bolt would scream. Everything was down at like 200 pound feet of torque. And I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you making that thing so, why are you tightening it so hard? It doesn't have to be tightened that hard. So I was like on this. I was practicing this theory. Let's see if we can tighten things down snugly. Let's see. Just in case I have to take it apart again, I don't want to wrestle it off. I mean, I thought, but there was a time I had a 72 Mercury Montego, and I bought the car, and I went to get the plugs out of it. And Ray, I think I told you this story in past shows. I couldn't get the plugs out of the car. Yeah. They would not flatly refuse to come out. I had to pull the hood off the car, so I can stand on there with a huge fence post and had the whole, literally had the socket set on there, and I'm on the fender and on the radiator support, and I'm pushing on this thing, and you hear this crack noise, and I would get this mangled plug out that looked awful. I'm like, what good was this? Who put this thing in? Hulk Hogan? What is this? So I decided one day, no, I'm going to put the plugs in nice and easy. Well, that didn't work either.
Now you fast forward to today, and you know Mike showed me this at the shop, his 05 Mustang, the 4.6. The plugs, like on the F-150s, they literally fuse into the head.
Yes, I've heard of this.
And the way and he says to me, because you got to see this. When the aftermarket makes the tool to remove and then repair and the spark plug hole, you know you're in trouble. The way you do this with this tool is, and it's a KD tool, you put it on the plug and you break the plug. And then you can remove the rest of it. And it's funny, I was working in one bay on the Chevelle, actually, and he was in the middle bay on his car. And You heard him, like, you set it. You hear him setting up the tools and all, and you hear him tugging. You hear like a grunt, and then you hear this cracking, breaking noise, and you're like, "Oh my god, that's not." You know, it's like one of those noises that you say, "That's not good." What just right. happened?
That's gonna cost money.
And then, like, you know, he giggled. I'm like, "What's so funny?" He's like, "It works." So he saved one or two for me, and says, "Come here, you got to try this." I'm like, "I don't know if I want to try this." And yeah, you put the tool on, you put a breaker bar on, and you pull it until it breaks, and it just makes that cracking, brittly noise. And then you take the parts out, you put the rest of the tool in, and it removes that spark plug. And that's the way you do it.
But was there ever a reason why the plug fused in? Was it because usually in newer cars, you can leave a set of plugs in for 100,000 miles. We don't do that. And is that the reason why? Because people follow the instructions to the letter and leave the plug in there for 100,000 miles, but in the process of it being in there so long, it fuses?
Well, probably twofold. Many people do that, yeah. The other problem with this engine, and if you ever worked on a Japanese V6 from the 80s on up, those plugs are so far down in the head from the top of the engine. They're way down in there.
And yeah, any Honda four cylinder is the same way, yeah.
They're exposed to a lot more heat than other plugs in other engines, and they don't get to, like, you know, a V8, they're right on the outside. They, you know, there's a cooling effect. They can get stuck too, but not like that. I think it's
also a cast iron head compared to an aluminum head. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the placement of the plug is really – I've never read anything about this, but my own theory is that it's where it's placed. It's in a hotter environment, and it retains that heat, and it doesn't get to, you know, shed that heat only through the head. And that head stays hot, that plug is staying hot. If you want to get hot with us, 516-256-9510. Get in on the fun, and we'll talk about whatever you want to –
That's right. 516-256-9510. Write it down.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's true. And that's, that was one of those things that I had that I tried to do. It's funny because that's what we do. We test our theories. And these were the engines to test your theories on, because there were times you talk about those Japanese six-cylinder engines, very unforgiving. You couldn't mess with them much without something severely breaking.
Yeah, the early Pathfinders. I did some work on a few of those early Pathfinders, and they were specifically. I mean, literally, I had to climb up on top of the truck, on top of the engine, and you use an extension. It's like 18 inches. Mm-hmm. It seems like to get down there, and it's like, whoa! Now they're making these really deep spark plug sockets. I mean, there's all sorts of the tool manufacturers have responded with that stuff.
Oh yeah,
but yeah, those motors were. I mean, they'd go forever. But until you don't try, try and service it after it's had 100,000 miles on it, you're in for a real joy.
It's the truth. I remember doing a tune-up on, of all cars, an Alfa Romeo Spider.
Okay.
And all I did was just put a set of plugs in it, and the owner of the car was right there, and we put it all together and went to go start it, and it just went poof. That was it. It just went, and then flatly refused to start. Yeah. And then we found out, we tried all night to get this thing to just start, and we couldn't get it to start. And then we found out he had it towed to a shop, and they had to pull the head off it. We bent like two valves. And it's like, what in the world? We didn't, what did we do?
Like the Alpha must be like, that's the cousin to my Fiat Spider.
Mm-hmm.
And the 2 liter and even the 1800 liter, 1800 cc engines, they're interference fit engines.
Yes.
That's how I got my first one. The timing belt jumped on this woman that owned the car, and it literally, when I pulled ahead, it bent like four valves.
Yep.
Just because the valves go lower than the top dead center. But that's something that I wanted to mention when we're talking about spark plugs. The other mistake people make is they said, these things are never going to lock up again. I'm going to make sure of it. And they slather on something like a product like Neverseize or grease. It's the wrong thing to do.
Why is that?
It is the wrong thing to do, because a couple drops of oil is all, like a drop of oil, because the plug actually grounds through its threads on the head. So
makes sense.
The plug manufacturers will tell you that the threads are coated. They're actually made, the metallurgy is such that there's, anti-galling properties. And to some degree, that's true. Mm-hmm. But, we've all had problems with them. And the answer is, make sure the threads are clean. There's thread chasers for the heads that you could buy. And it's just like maybe a drop or two of oil on the plug, or just the slightest little dab of anti-seize just on the beginning threads. And then torque the spark plugs. Torque them to spec. And on a steel head, that's usually about 32 foot-pounds. On an aluminum head, it's maybe 15, 16, depending on the engine. Mm-hmm. But do that, and you'll be safe.
And you know what's even worse about anti-seize? It gets everywhere.
Did you ever see the meme? There's one, it's like the Tin Man, and he says, here's a mechanic that touched the Neverseize. You see silver from head to
top. Yeah, exactly. It's like mustard. You ever notice mustard? You put mustard on a Frank, you find it on your shoes, you find it on your shirt, you find it in your ear. Where the hell? This is what happens when anti-seize. Put a little drop on every single spark plug, like you say. If you follow that rule to the letter, next thing you know, you got anti-seize on your pants, anti-seize on your underwear. How did it get there? Holy smokes, what's that burning? It's everywhere.
It's a good time to mention this. I just made a post this week. It's on our social media, so it's on Twitter. And on the web, motormouthradio.com, we're of course motormouthradio, but on Twitter and Facebook, we're also motormouthradio, and on Instagram, we're real_motormouthradio.
Mm-hmm.
And I had made a post where I showed some Neverseize, some anti-seize in the rims that I mounted on the FJ, because I always use aluminum anti-seize on the face of that aluminum wheel. I know we have a call. So,
okay, let's jump on it. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the fun. Let's say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, Chris and Ray. How are you? It's Cliff. How's everything?
Cliff! How are you, my brother? How you been?
So I was calling in to talk about a DeSoto story, but your mustard story just threw me off, and I have a better mustard story for you.
Okay.
So first of all, I came home from the hospital, from Brookdale Hospital in Brooklyn when I was born, in my dad's 58 four-door DeSoto with a Hemi and dual quads.
Nice.
Button transmission. that he bought off a used car lot on Linden or Atlantic Boulevard back in the 50s or early 60s, and who knows, maybe that car probably was tagged. You know, who knows where that car came from. But
yeah.
But so that's my love for Mopar from day one, and he was always a Plymouth Fury guy and international truck guy because he was a machine remover. But going on to the mustard story, I'll tell you a quick funny mustard story. You talk about it. I go with a bunch of guys. We go up to the Pocono 500
or sure. 400,
whatever it is, Pocono 400. And, yeah. You know, we go, good group of guys, but we're buying stuff for each other. One person gets up, hey, I'm going to get some waters. What do you need? You want a beer, you know? And one buddy, he goes, see you later. I'm just going to walk around for about a half hour, an hour. And he comes back like a half hour late, and he's got mustard all on his shirt, you know? And we're like, I said, what'd you do? I don't know, we're just walking around. I said, did you get something to eat? No. What do you do? He had a mustard. You know, he's the guy that you buy, you know, I get up, I buy everybody the waters. The other, Paul, right. My cousin Paulie gets up and buys it.
The mustard gave away.
He ain't buying for everybody. He went, the mustard was the evidence. He gave himself away.
It gets everywhere. It doesn't happen with ketchup.
So I'm like, yeah, of course, yeah, are you sure you didn't have a pretzel? Or
nothing
like that.
Yeah, you must have walked by. Some guy in the stand must have had a mustard packet and squirted it on you. Right?
Yeah. That's funny. That's like a
magic bullet of mustard spray.
But it's
yes,
the truth.
Yes.
Doesn't happen with ketchup. Doesn't happen with mayonnaise. Doesn't happen with Russian dressing.
Yes.
Happens with mustard. Mustard names.
But anyway, great show as usual. Great show as usual, and I love the DeSoto stories. And,
thanks, Cliff.
You know my thing. Mopar or no car, Ray? Come on.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. No, we got you. We got you.
Thank you, my brother. We'll talk to you real soon.
I'm going to take care, guys. Stay well. All right, and happy holidays if I don't talk.
Thank you.
Happy holidays. I'll talk soon. Bye-bye. Perfect. 516-256-9510. There's the phone number. Be like Cliff. Give us a call. Yes.
Like I said, cool. Just to finish up, I did make the post on the
–
I want to follow up on that. That was the ongoing saga the Monday after the show last week. Mm-hmm. The wheels went out to be powder coated.
They did.
And they came back Tuesday.
Well, great.
The next day, I was like, what? And Mike sent me a picture. Like, they're here. I'm like, what, really? So yeah. I went down to the shop, and I mounted them on the – there they are.
Nice.
So mounted them on the truck.
Thank you, Internet Know-It-All, for putting up a picture of it. Very cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
The powder coating came out beautiful. Nice. The set of caps came out nice with the Dupli-Color wrap paint. We'll see how that holds up. I'm sure that's nice.
I like how they coordinate against your nuts.
Yes, they did the nuts. I didn't even clean those nuts, and look how nice they look.
What?
There's
I
use my new Matco carbon fiber lug tool set. I use my 21 millimeter for that job.
So we could see these pictures on Instagram on Motor Mouth Radio.
Yeah.
We can see all this cool stuff. Very nice.
And there's the Permatex. This picture the Permatex never sees. And then what we do is at the shop, you put that on, slather it on the back of that face of
right.
the where it meets the rotor. And it's an aluminum base paste. And we
you
found
say that. You say it again.
Aluminum
base paste.
So it ends up
next to anybody.
It helps to prevent the corrosion. If you know what, if you don't take those wheels off in another year or two or three or whatever, yeah, it's going to get in there. It'll take longer. But if right. you do take them off, like, you know, I always every oil change I rotate the tires. So
every oil change, you rotate tires?
Oh yeah,
wow.
Absolutely, yeah.
You're bold and innovative.
Well, you know, but the thing is, now in my life, you know, every like four, if I'm doing 4,000 mile oil changes. That could take me 6 months.
Really good. You never leave the neighborhood, of course.
Yeah.
Every your whole life is 20 minutes away from the house.
Yeah. Or it could be more. So, but still, that's the rule. Every oil change, you rotate the tires. And if you do it at least once a year or twice a year, you take those wheels off, you'll be able to get them off easily. Uh-huh. That never sees. Then you recoat it, put them back on. And right. and that's the other thing. If you should be like me in this case. I'll say that. I usually don't say that. I tell people to be themselves. But in this case, be like me.
Right.
Torque your lug nuts with a torque wrench.
How come?
You do that. Do not put never sees on the lug nuts.
No.
Because what it does is it changes the coefficient of friction. and the whole number, the value changes. So it's off. So again, don't use them on lug nuts, but you may want to pick up the phone.
Let's go to the phones. Back to what Ray calls the fun and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, Bob.
Robert.
Hi, guys. I wanted to say thank you. You know, I wanted to say thank you to you, Ray, Chris, and Joey D. They've got a lot to be thankful for. Some families aren't doing so well.
No, it's very true.
That's very true, Bob. Yeah,
very true. You're absolutely right.
And
you're right.
You know, the radio programs that Rob and Kim and Steve and Sean's effort and Ron Stevens and Rob's sister who helps out with the transmission of the radio. It means something to our family, and I don't want you to think that it doesn't, because it does. I love your automotive program. I love it.
Excellent. Well,
thank you so much. Those were such kind words, and we appreciate it. What makes it stand out over all the others?
Others? Yeah, there's list.
Yeah, right. It's a list of them. No, really. I just want to know what attracts you to the show. I just out of curiosity.
Well, one is there are a couple of things. One is you make an entertainment. Two is we're supporting someone local. And three is the guests that you bring on, they're informative. You know, I'm not in a shop. I'm not in a garage. I'm not under a car anymore. You know, it is what it is.
Right.
But, you're bringing something to the household, and the other programs are bringing something to the household when we have, like this morning, I made egg sandwiches for the girls. I got your program on.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Friday night we got Beatles songs on when I'm feeding the family or before we go out.
That's cool.
So, you know, you guys are, things have completely changed for you guys. And I'm going to leave you on this thought. And I was thinking, so where does that bring me? I'll tell you where it brings me. There are people who step up when they need to step up, and they're professionals. And I'm not saying that lightly, because we rely upon professionals when things like this, obviously the COVID, and they still do their job. So enough of my nonsense. I just wanted to say thank you to all of you. And we only wish you well going into the next year.
Thank you, Bob. I thought you were going to say, so if you know any guys doing radio who are going to step up and do the right thing, because we're looking for them too.
We'll look for those professionals. Bob, that was wonderful. Bob. And we appreciate it. Thank you very much for the kind words. They were moving and well thought out. And thank you.
And I will say this. We're selfish bastards. We do this for ourselves. We do it because we love it. We do it because we like to do it. But more so than that, and we couldn't do it if we didn't have listeners like you who wanted to hear it. So it's definitely a two-way street. There's some Crosby, Stills, and Nash going on here. Mm-hmm. And we'll continue to do it as long as guys like you continue to listen and like it.
You bet. You bet.
We thank you, and we only wish you well.
Thank you. Same here.
Same to you.
We're going to have a good year in 2020.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
All right, Bob. So long.
I hope so.
Yes, we will.
I hope so, too.
516-256-9510 is the phone number. Yes.
All right. We're at the bottom of the hour. We should take our break so we can reestablish and play a couple of spots here and let the good people know what's going on. So this way we can change our shirts and get the sweaty rags off and do our hair and retouch the makeup, have the girl come in with the puff thing and, cut the clock here. So.
Makeup.
Let's do that. But before we do that,
Chris,
we have an honor group of the hour.
Honor? Honor group?
I decided to enunciate the H, yeah.
Yes, we do have a honor group of the hour.
No, and it's the hour.
Hour.
Rutger Hauer.
Hauer honor group of the hour.
Right.
That's right. We do have a Motor Mouth Radio honor group of the hour. People that find nothing wrong with saying, my car is running great. You know who you are. If you are crazy and bold enough to stand up proudly and sing the praises of how well your car is running at that very moment, if you can say it while you're presently on the road, if you could say it while you're on the road very far away from home, Well, if you could say your car is running great and be able to handle the catastrophe immediately after saying it, you are part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. Congratulations. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Excellent words. So with that, we will we'll take our break, and we'll be back with more Motormouth Radio. Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer, 90.3 WHPC.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, say I'll Espanol. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
It's a call-studded program. We do have another caller on the line. Caller, identify yourself.
Anthony, I called those guys with the cars one time.
Oh, nice, the Motormouth guys.
Oh, yeah, those good old boys.
There you are. Anthony, where are you calling from?
I'm in Freeport. Yeah, this morning I miss it. My boss was, every time I turn it on, he turns it off. I say, whoa. Yo, you better, I'm here, give him a karate chop.
That's right.
Give him a karate chop.
Give him an F5.
I love it.
Man, dudes.
It's a pleasure, bro. Take it easy. That was
amazing.
My favorite caller
of all time.
Maybe all time. I have heard him with the Motormouth guys. That's why I recognized them a little.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities, an occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Hey, we're back with Motormouth Radio, your only automotive talk show here on Long Island. Trying to keep it real, trying to do what you guys want, and gals, that is, because we do have some women friends who listen. And you tuned in back with Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer on the bottom of the dial here, or however you're listening, the bottom of the stream. I know Brian was having some trouble with the stream. Brian, if you're having trouble with the stream, if you're not having trouble with the stream, if you fixed it, give us a call, 516-256-9510. That's our Matco band, Brian.
So just to throw us off on a completely different topic, I am actually... Remember the Little Rascals episode where they bake the cake and the cake goes it inflates and deflates, right?
Yes.
Because of all the crazy things they have in there. Well, I'm working on the door panels on the 300. I have a set of... I actually have two sets of 300 door panels that I've ordered from the fine folks in North Carolina. And they're both in shoddy shape. So we're in the process of taking two bad sets and making one good set out of it. So one of the things that basically a detriment of the set is that because they were left out in the weather for so long, the cardboard backing on them has distorted to the point where it's just a wrinkly mess. It's not awful. It's not like it's folded in half, but it's a wrinkly mess.
Yeah.
So I decided to try and use water to straighten it out.
Interesting.
Yeah, so here's what I'm doing. Because I don't want to replace the cardboard, because that means I have to peel off the material, which is flimsy as it is. So I have to peel it, unglue it from the original bad backing, use that bad backing as a template for a good sheet, and then put that on, glue it all, fix it on. I don't want to do that yet. Yet.
Okay.
I want to try and straighten out the old one first. And this is a tall order. This is a big undertaking, and I'm trying to take pictures of it too. But anyway, so here's what happened. Because I have to find heavy things around the house,
yeah.
Because here's the plan: spraying it with water, letting the water soak into the backing. And that, the internet know-it-all finds the Little Rascals episode with the birthday cake. Very cool. So So I have to then spray it with water. And I actually put a little bleach in there because it's got a little muffad, the smell. There you go. It's another Italianism we were talking about before the show. Right. Muffada means like, you know, when you go down the basement after a good rainstorm and you go, what's that funny smell? That's muffad. So it's got that smell on the backing. So it's little bit of bleach in with the water, spray it up, and now it's soaking. So now I have to take the weights and put them on the panel on a flat table so it will flatten out and dry that way. So that's the theory we're going with. But the problem was that I didn't have enough heavy flat things. So I was working in thirds. So I would do the front panel, a third of the front panel, spray that, lay the heavy things on it, let that sit for a couple of days, take it off, the panel was flat. Then I went to the center of the panel, did the same thing, and then to the back of the panel, did the same thing. These panels are pretty big.
Yeah.
So I was able to, but by the time I got to the third panel, the front panel, the first, was starting to warp again.
I'm going to suggest something to you.
Go ahead.
First of all, let me interject. I know that on, and this has always driven me nuts, you know, where.
Before you interject, you want to take, we think we should take a phone call?
Okay.
Let's do that. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the fun. Say hi, run, and bye. Okay. So much for that.
Right. There's, on some of the car shows, on Garage Squad specifically.
Oh, we're back again. Shall we do this again?
I see that. Give it a shot.
Let's try this. Hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hi, Motor Mouth. Good morning, guys. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Who's this?
My name is John.
Hiya, John.
Calling
how are you?
From, good. Calling from Glen Cove up on the North Shore.
Cool.
Oh, good.
I just wanted to actually echo. I'm the first time I'm calling you guys, but I listen all the time. I just wanted to echo what that previous caller said.
Yeah.
You know, the people out here, we really do appreciate you. There's a lot of unsung heroes in tough times, and the mechanics and the plumbers and the electricians and the people that you need when things are tough and there's an emergency, and they make your life keep going. And a lot of these guys have a lot of courage and things going to work and trudging through the days when it's tough, and people overlook it, but maybe they don't voice it, but we do appreciate it. And you guys keeping us going, we do appreciate it, but not to belabor it. But my question, and I'm glad I caught you guys at the time when I did, when I'm sitting in the car here.
Yeah.
I'll admit it. I live up on the North Shore, and I recently moved up there, and I started having a lot of corrosion problems from the salt water.
Ooh.
On my brakes, all my brake parts.
Yeah.
Even the pads and all, everything on it. So anyway, long story short, I'm one of the guys, I made the mistake of putting anti-seize on my lug nuts.
Ah.
So I'm wondering, I'm glad I caught you guys. It's not too long ago, so I'm wondering, what should I do? How can I correct
John,
it?
Let me ask you this. Once you put the anti-seize on the lug nuts, how did you go about tightening them?
First of all, John, do me a favor, lower the radio down, please.
Just
lower the volume on the radio. Okay, cool. Go right ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead, Ray. I'm sorry.
I use a four-way lug.
Okay, so you just did them hand tight. Okay.
Yeah, tighten them.
Okay, so basically you never know if your lugs are tightened correctly or not because you did them by hand. A four-way is actually a more precise tool than I ever knew it was.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason being, the length of the arms are calibrated so that I guess a man of average size and weight, whatever that meant back then, would put enough force on to kind of, when you stopped, it was pretty much at the torque that the manufacturer wanted him to be at. I never knew that growing up. So I'd stand on it.
Okay.
But anyway.
Right.
So you may be off. I mean, for the corrosion part, you're right on. You're not going to get corrosion because you use the anti-seize. Is the vehicle the wheels are on, are they aluminum wheels or are they steel?
They're aluminum.
Okay. So that's a little more specific. You don't want to over-tighten aluminum wheels because you can actually
distort them.
You can distort them a little bit. Mm-hmm. But let me say this. If you're not going to torque those nuts, or if you don't have a way to torque the nuts, end the story. Conversation's over. Don't even worry about it. You'll be fine. Don't even think about it. I mean, that's all I can say. If you do have a way to torque them and you want to do it, you can take the lug nuts off and clean the never sees off. I would use a brake clean or something like that. I mean, yeah. Get it all off. Like I said, a little bit is okay. But anything on the lugs other than just a drop of light oil is going to change that torque reference. It's anything that people would put on. So, yeah, if you're not going to, if you want to look into it further, we'd certainly entertain. I'll give you a detailed account on how to do it. But you should, John, while you're at it, follow us on social media. See the stuff we put up because we do post stuff like that all the time on our
social media. Okay, so I was kind of concerned about it being maybe a safety issue, but it's not a safety issue as far as the lugs being out of whack on something like that.
Well, you know what I do? Even though I do torque my lug nuts, I go back maybe four days, 3 days, whatever, a couple days later, and just go back and retorque them all again. So that's what you should do. Take that lug wrench, just go out there on a daylight day where it's nice, and just give them all another little snug and see if any of them loosened up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Smart idea.
I think you'll be good to go.
All right, guys. Listen, I greatly appreciate it. You guys keep up the good work, and I'll call again with my next problem.
Don't be a stranger, John. We'd love to hear from you.
Exactly.
Okay. You guys have a great day. Thank you so much. Be well.
Thanks, John. You too. Be safe. We'll talk soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
516-256-9510. There's the phone number to get a hold of us right here at Motor Mouth Radio. Yes, love when the phones are on fire.
We haven't had a new caller in a while. I'm glad to hear that. I love getting new callers. I love that.
Yes, especially callers with high praise.
Yes.
They like us, right?
I was asking for money, so I just gave them your private number.
Oh, good, thanks.
To get back to my thought about what I was saying with you, Garage Squad, they typically call, and I know this could be regional throughout the country, it was Heather Storm who did it. She would always call the door panels, as we know them, door cards.
Door cards. Yes.
Where the hell did that come from? So those regional pronunciations drive me wild because obviously I never heard that before.
I've actually heard it as well recently too. Door cards. Yes. Right. Yeah. And I'm like, what the heck is that? No, you're right.
Right. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, I would use a steamer.
Ooh.
And steam that so you get deep into it, and then. Like, take a filing cabinet and lay it on top of it. I mean, use something big, table or something. Now, they make small steamers. I have a little one that I took the tint off the windows of my car with. It only holds, like, maybe a pint or two of water. But I did just buy one for Christmas for my wife. And it's dual purpose. It's a bigger one. It'll hold, like, a gallon. Ooh. And you could do, like, the floors and the ground. But it also has attachments you can get. After working on the FJ and having to steam all the stuff, I'm thinking, wow, to clean car stuff, this would be great.
So you bought it for your wife for Christmas, but you're going to borrow it?
Oh, of course. She uses it all the time, so when she's not using it,
you are such a romantic.
Buy smart, my friend. Buy smart.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Happy wife, happy life. Let's go to the phones.
Right.
Go to the fun. Oh, and it's going to be fun. Let's say hi. You're on with the Motor Mounds.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, Matt Goldman. What's up, Brian?
What's up, Brian? How are you, my brother?
Hey, doing good. It took me a while to log on. You guys are hard to find. You're not paying the bills or what?
You know, between Thursdays and Sundays, we have a lot of connection issues, I know. So, Chris, let me just say this before Brian starts talking. This is the one guy now, he's inviting people to come on his Matco tool truck as of Monday and bust his balls.
What? What? Wait a minute, what? About what?
It's that time of the year. That time of the year. We got 250 ornaments hanging from the ceiling. Everybody's a winner. Come on out and bust some balls.
If you go on Brian's Facebook page, the Hey Macro Man Facebook page, you can put pictures up. Oh, did you put that on Instagram or Facebook today, Brian? I forgot.
It should be on both, Instagram or Facebook.
Right. I did see it this morning. And it makes me, I tell you, you did a real nice video of the truck, which is great. I sent you a message and said, I mean, I realize that I'm a freak. I know that I have this problem, but just looking at the video of the truck, I'm seeing stuff on there that I haven't seen on other trucks, and I'd be spending like a madman. I'd be like, my credit card would be melted over. It'd be like, you know, over my finger to be just like, like fluff.
Like very a nice Salvador Dali painting.
Yes.
Hey, Ray, you got to be careful, Ray, because I got your card on file, and I'll just go out there and put a big old UPS sticker on the side of that truck and ship it to you.
And all the stuff you have on order, too. Yeah, pay for that, too, while you're at it.
Something tells me I don't just put a past Brian.
Put a big old sticker on that.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Luckily, the account does have a cap. It doesn't have an there's Brian's balls. It doesn't have an unlimited.
Wait, Brian's balls are online?
Yeah. We're kind of looking at them on our.
It's a different area, you know. It's Ray's nuts or Brian's balls. It's the same, right?
Brian, how did
this is awful.
Brian, how did you come up with that whole concept, and how long have you been doing it?
Well, it was a marketing thing, and I've been doing it for, I don't know, 10 years or so.
So what do you have to do? Do you have to take you give the Christmas ornament to someone, and they just take it and destroy it any way they can?
It's basically to make a $50 payment,
right,
or buy $100, and you get to pick a bulb off the ceiling and bust it, and there's prizes in there.
Oh, wow.
From anywhere from a beanie to $25 gift certificate or Oakley glasses, anything. I got about 15 different things, and so you get to get your prize, whatever you pick.
That is genius.
You think you could seed some of those balls with some brownies? Because I know your daughter makes some really good brownies.
A coupon.
No, I need another one. No, I need another one. No, I need another one. Take the freaking light. No, I need another one. And just stand there with like a half a gallon of glass and say, if you get it, we'll give you a cold milk.
We gotta make the milk at least double to make up for it all, right?
Right. There'll be a charge for the milk.
Wow. This is genius. Breaking Christmas ornaments for fabulous prizes.
Right. Hey,
I've had a few guys actually come out and they take some of my Spanish guys where the English isn't too good, but I've actually had guys take the bulbs and then go off with them without breaking them. So I don't know if they ever broke them or they hung them on their tree.
They hung them on the tree.
You know, Brian, for those guys, you should seed it so that inside they would like a pink ratchet. Because we know how much they love those.
Guys, yeah.
That is hysterical.
It is kind of funny. I've always wondered whatever happened, because like I said, I have a few of those guys and they look at me kind of crazy. Of course, the tool truck looks like a herd of strippers came through, because all the glitter from the bulbs are all over the place, but it's a fun day.
How did you explain that to your wife the first year that you did? Because now she knows, but, you know.
Yeah. She knows me. It's okay.
She knows what she got into.
She
it's all
right. Yeah.
Excellent.
That's hysterical. No. I love it. Man, talk about Christmas cheer. That's fantastic.
I'll tell you.
Go ahead. Yeah.
No, it's just, like I said, a lot of guys like it because it's not every day you can break that stuff, so right. It's never a dull moment.
Right. I was going to say, you spend all of
some
your time
guys,
not
it's
breaking.
A therapy.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely totally, therapy.
Totally therapeutic. I mean, is there anything, Brian, that stands out, like doing this? How long have you been doing this for now? How many years?
What? The tool? 19 years.
No, how long have you been doing the Christmas ball breaking contest?
10 years.
Has there anything that has stood out, like one guy that did something or any story that stands out from doing this in all those 10 years?
Not, I mean, most of them, there's been a lot of guys that, I mean, they get really excited about it just because I think throwing that ball down and watching it smash.
Yeah.
I used to do it with a hammer, and they would just beat the crap out of it with the hammer. So,
sure.
It is kind of funny. I'm hoping this year I can catch a couple guys on video. Sometimes I videotape them, and they get like in the witness protection plan or something, so it doesn't get done.
I'd love to see that. This is fantastic. And then,
hey Brian,
actually,
I think the funniest.
Yeah,
I was going to ask you, what were the hot Christmas sellers?
Actually, Oakley glasses are really hot, and actually, it's been kind of quiet. I'm kind of worried, but we're just starting off with December, so hopefully we can ramp that up. But Oakley glasses are always good because they got his and hers, and everybody loves sunglasses, so that's been real good. And Bluetooth stuff, you know, any kind of sound bar or that type of stuff. And my Rat Fink stuff's done really good this year. I was really surprised, usually. So it's picking up. I just hope it really takes off in the next couple weeks.
My suggestion would be get some of those Matco that I posted a picture of, the Matco cigar ashtray, and get a box of cigars. And, like, if you buy an ashtray, you get a cigar, you know?
Why not?
That's true.
You know?
Why not?
Actually, I'd probably go back to the beer glasses and throw a six-pack in. It'd probably go a little easier.
All right. Hey, then the cigars with the beer, you know? Well, cigars go more with that. That's more of a...
Yeah, and you have to keep them too cold.
You got it.
Nice.
Very cool.
You got it.
Very cool. Wow. Thanks. So anything... What was the funny thing that you were saying? What was it? You said the...
Oh, I guess now thinking about it, the best one ever was I had one guy, and he wasn't a super clean freak kind of guy because, you know, I could see how his working ethics were.
Right.
But he grabbed the bulb, and he went outside the truck, and I asked him why, and he goes, "I don't want to make a mess in your truck." And
nice.
I thought that was kind of funny.
That is funny.
he busted it out in the parking lot and picked up and read what his prize was, and... then walked off, and then I figured, well, I'll probably get the one with the ticket for littering in the parking lot, but it all worked out.
All right, Brian. Well, I tell you what, brother, we're going to have to run because we're going to get a ticket. We got to let Kim come in and do her show. It's time for us to wrap. So we thank you for the call, and we'll be talking to you again very shortly.
Yes.
All right, you guys have a good one. Be safe and stay out of trouble now.
Thanks, Brian.
You too. Be safe. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
All right.
Take care. Bye.
All right, Chris, that's it. We got a wrap. Kim's going to be coming just on the road.
And we'll figure on my door panel analogy next week.
Quick. It's 12:59. So.
Yeah, we'll do it next week.
Okay.
Move this along.
What do we always say?
Well, we always say for the holidays, don't follow us home.
Right. Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, Motormouth Radio, we're out. We'll see you next week on 90.3 WHPC.
See ya.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.